Hey, this is Jim McDonald. Welcome to episode 115 of the PowerCast. This episode is Jesse Norris. Jesse is lifting this week in USAPL Raw Nationals, along with previous guests Lane Norton and Bryce Lewis, and many, many, many hundreds of other people. Apparently, this is going to be like the biggest meet in the history of meats, in the history of beef. Anyway, it should be an amazing meet, and there's plenty of information about the meet on the USAPL's website. Anyway, we had a great time talking to Jesse, and he has some interesting insights and perspectives, and he's definitely been through some stuff, so take a listen. In the time since we recorded this episode, Jesse Norris now has his own YouTube channel. He would like us to point you in that direction. It is Mr. Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, Norr, N-O-R-R, Mr. Jesse Norr. So youtube.com/Mr. Jesse Norr, I believe. If you just search for Mr. Jesse Norr, you'll get it all as one word. Please check it out. He's adding new content all the time, and I'm sure that there will be meat videos up there eventually as well. Our sponsors for this episode, howaboutyourbench.net, thepowermagazine.com, cavemancoffeeco.com, and if you're a regular listener to the Joe Rogan podcast, you probably caught Tate, who's one of the caveman owners, on last week in a spectacularly wonderful episode that isn't super long like a lot of the Joe Rogan episodes are. You can tell these guys have been buds for a long time, and they had an interesting conversation. I highly recommend listening to that and checking out the coffee at cavemancoffeeco.com. Also, Compex USA at shopcompex.com. I've been working the heck out of my lower calf and ankle area trying to straighten that up with the Compex, and so far it seems to be helping. And Rogue Fitness at thepowercast.com/rogue. As I've said in the past, we have quite a bit of Rogue equipment in the gym that we use all of the time. So actually, if you check out last week's video, in the intro, I showed you some of that equipment and a one-leg deadlift by a one-leg man with the Rogue Super Training Power Wheels, or whatever they're called. That's very impressive if you consider that he's got the one leg. Hit us up with a 5-star on iTunes. We definitely appreciate every time we get those. We're not allowed to compensate you anyway for doing those, except that, hey, you're getting all this for free. So what a gesture to give back to us by giving us a 5-star on iTunes. We definitely appreciate those. All right, so on with episode 115 of the PowerCast.
Born in 62, he's pretty fucking old.
Older than me.
Recorded live at Super Training Gym in West Sacramento, California, this is Mark Bell's PowerCast.
Whoa.
Alongside Silent Mike and Jim McD, here's your host, Mark Bell.
He put a little at the back end.
On purpose,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah. Here's your host.
Like each rapper kind of has their own like noise or hype thing. Like, yeah, yeah. Oh, he has his.
Sounds like he's fucking jizzing all over the microphone or some shit like that.
I think he's related to Ken Kniff.
Oh, from Connecticut.
Yeah, from the internet.
Yeah. Trying to lure your kids into bed.
Yeah. Ken Kniff and Dick Lickerson.
Disgusting.
That's my Power Ranger. You just touched my Ranger. How do you feel about that?
Jesse Norris is young enough to where he might like take that out of the package and just play with it the entire time.
We're asking him all these questions. He's fucking flying across the desk.
Yeah.
Here, little Power Ranger, want some Monster Energy drink? Just jumping them all around.
Kids are hilarious with stuff like that.
Oh, it's amazing. Great. They got fucking awesome imaginations.
Yeah, I can't play like that.
I'll tell you about Quinn and her ladybug that she drew. And the ladybug is thinking of a... Ladybug is got like a little those little bubbles over it.
She like a comic bubble, like a thought.
Oh, yeah. Thought bubble.
Yeah, a thought bubble. And the thought bubble is of a flower.
It's so hungry.
It's random. I'll pull the picture up. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a great picture.
On my busted ass phone.
I know.
How my phone be broke.
How do you do that? You have custom rims with your fucking company name on them, and your phone looks like Spider-Man.
Because it doesn't matter how much money you make, everything's still a piece of shit.
Yeah, they ain't cleaning his rims.
Yeah.
They're dirty rims?
They're fucking dirty.
Yeah, that's not the only dirty rim I have.
Welcome to California where everything is dirty. All the cars are dirty.
So on the same topic, we were at dinner last night. Yeah, it's a great picture.
I don't know the people there.
I'll bring it close.
Yeah, take it right up there.
Take it right up the yin yang. Back it up a little bit so it's not blurry.
Yeah, you gotta focus that shit.
I think it's
good
focused.
Job, Quinn.
It's focused out here. I don't know.
Yeah. Ooh. Anyway, they saw it.
So we're at dinner, the group of us, and Mr. Norris here had a great point and a disturbed point that he saw our toilets get a real fucking whooping around this.
Yeah, and you know what? I didn't realize this about Jesse Norris. I didn't know he was into like investigating.
He's a quiet assassin. He understands what's going on, but he's a little quiet.
Did
about
he grow
it.
Up yeah. on CSI? Is that the story?
I sit back and I observe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's some real like insider info on what's going on here at Super Dream.
Well, he said there was one of two things I think were the issue: a high set butthole, which no one really talks about.
It's like a wide set vagina.
Yeah, except it's set the, more up towards your
for the back end,
heading towards the back of your
yeah,
neck.
Yeah, and is all there right. such a thing, or is it
our
like,
buttholes can't all be in the same place? Yeah. We're so unique.
We are
that, or
everyone's
some,
belly button's kind of in a different spot.
Yeah, or what's our other option?
Loose buttholes,
which I am sadly, I think that may be the case here at Super Training.
and he you came to some of these assumptions about our buttholes due to
the toilets around here,
some splatter
explosions on the inside of the. Seat.
Yeah, I don't know who's ever
you
seen.
You swab any of the seats and stuff?
Yeah, get samples.
Get some DNA. Yeah.
Culture some stuff up.
Yeah.
The TV show Dexter, which was a pretty decent show, one of the few series I have watched. I think they actually do it in real life, too. They take, like, yarn, and they're checking angles of splatter and all this stuff. And I walked in the bathroom to go to the bathroom, and Jesse's in there fucking figuring out the splatter angle of all the poop.
Pictures, walls, ceiling.
Yeah, and now
3D modeling.
Probably by tonight, he'll know exactly who shat everywhere.
So, you know, it's like, common knowledge that, like, poop is everywhere, right? Like, there's particles of stuff everywhere. Yeah.
Somebody said...
And, like, when you make, like, stuff like ketchup, there's, like, acceptable amounts, like, parts per million of how many bugs and things can be in there and all that kind of stuff. But, like, at least you don't see it. You know, here, there's, like, poop on the wall, but there's literally shit on the wall. Like, there's actual poo on the wall. Like, it's not, like, fecal matter parts. It's actual poo-poo.
I think it was a different conversation totally. I think it was with Moneymaker and Marcus. Someone said that there's a gram of poo in washed underwear.
That's awesome.
After you wash it, there's still a gram of poo. Mm. I was like, whose butthole are they measuring this?
Well, then now they're starting to make the like silver nitrate embedded.
That's what I need.
Underwear. And stuff.
Is that related to Zortex?
The charcoal?
I don't know. The charcoal is different.
Yeah, that's Zortex.
Charcoal is for smell, but the silver is for bacteria.
Oh my god!
But
I'm just gonna burn every pair of underwear after I wear it.
Don't we need some of that bacteria?
Not butt.
I don't know. That's a good
you
question.
You need your butt bacteria?
I think that in reality we need all the bacteria because we're supposed to be like more bacteria than we are human, right? Mm-hmm. Walking around.
Yeah. Well, isn't there supposed to be a bunch of butt juice on money too? Money's supposed to be the dirtiest
thing ever.
And
cocaine. I think there's a lot of cocaine.
No, there's cocaine on money, not butt juice on cocaine.
There's a new dirtiest thing ever and it would be your fucking phone.
Yeah, by far.
It's like a petri dish of fucking cum and poo.
And and the remote control in hotel rooms.
Oh, that's gross.
Yeah. Gross. I know people who will take.
What have you done with their remote control at your hotel room?
You don't want to know.
That goddamn Hallmark Inn. No one else can stay there now. Goddamn.
Yeah. Well, cash is probably getting cleaner because everybody uses credit card.
Cash rules everything around me.
That's probably true.
Cream, get the money.
Yeah, we hit up Cream.
Dollar bill, y'all. Yeah, just posted a picture of it.
Oh, hey now.
It was delicious.
Mm-hmm. Sushi and cream.
Although,
cream tacos.
My ratio of... I wouldn't order the brownie again just because there's too much brownie. Yeah.
You got to go double scoop ice cream.
It was too dark and thick.
It was too dark and thick.
Gotta go double.
It was too thick, period. It took up most of the cup. You know what I'm saying?
I went double cookie... Or single cookie, double scoop.
Your brownie sundae ended up looking like one of those poops that's sticking up out of the bowl.
Brownie sundae sounds like a very good porn film.
Brownie every day sounds really good too. But
brownie sundae, like sundae or like a sundae, like an ice cream.
How do you spell sundae?
S-U-N-D-A-Y. Okay.
Not the ice cream kind.
Did you say Sunday or someday?
Yeah, so it would be brownie Sunday, and it would be anal on a Sunday. Mm. That would be the pornography.
Anal someday.
Film. Oh.
Yeah.
That would be part two.
Yeah. I think my wife said for our 50th wedding anniversary.
Oh, anal
yeah.
something. Anal?
Yeah, 50th wedding anniversary. Yeah,
you're like, going to be 80?
First time, or is that like a revisit?
Yeah, I'm going to be like, remember what you said?
Anal when you're 80.
Neither one of us is going to remember anything at that point, I don't think.
It's one of those things that's a better sounds better than it really turns out to
looks be. Good on paper.
Looks good on paper. There you go.
Looks good on toilet paper.
We could get into the reasons why, but I think that everybody can just use their imagination.
About anal? Big J-Mo got his sleeves.
Did he?
Yeah, J-Mo. The biggest powerlifter on the planet.
Did he fit?
I don't know. He just said that he just found him.
J-Mo?
He just found him? Where the fuck does he live?
I don't know. He said he's like sometimes, like the post office. I don't know. He might be in Paint Lick.
He is?
Yeah, I think it's hard to
get
the post office to go to Paint Lick.
Yeah, they don't want to go there.
They probably have one mailman.
He's in Paint Lick with
Paint Lick, Kentucky.
With
Brandon Lilly.
The 606. It's the home of Brandon Lilly.
It's a real shithole, I'd imagine.
He sent us a picture or something, didn't he? He said, like, oh, this is the
church. This is the town.
Yeah, it's like the church, the post office, and then a bunch of houses.
It was in one photo.
That's it. Yeah, one stop sign. I don't even know if they have a stoplight.
Yeah, what's his name? Larry Birds from French Lick, Indiana, which is like...
They're probably rivals.
Yeah, probably... Yeah, the Lick area. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whoever names it Paint Lick.
How about where you're from, Jesse Norris? Is it pretty populated, not populated? You're from Idaho, right?
Yeah, originally from Nampa. When I
Representing.
Grew up, it wasn't too populated, but it's getting a lot.
Wow, Jim just went into somebody's backyard.
Yeah, we're in Paint Lick.
We're on a bridge in Paint Lick. Over a
down
little bit of
by
water.
The river, yeah.
Like, how many like high schools were in your town?
Originally one, and now there's like three or four. Right. So yeah, it's pretty expanding small. Pretty fast.
And, and white supremacists.
You don't see very many.
really?
Yeah.
I thought Idaho was all about white supremacists.
Could be. There's a lot of potatoes there, isn't there? And a blue football field is what I know of.
Yeah. That's what it's most recognized for.
Some big companies up there. You work for bodybuilding.com, right?
Yeah, bodybuilding.com.
I think Hewlett-Packard was up there. Dude, wasn't that a giant-ass fucking plant that we drove by?
Maybe HP or something
Micron.
Like that. Micron. Yeah. And then there's also like a bunch of like protein bar factories and different stuff of that nature I've heard that are in that area.
Some different manufacturer. Yeah,
that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like
still
that here in Sacramento.
Paint, like,
a lot of farmland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you grow up doing? Was your family farmers or anything? Or?
well, not originally, but I grew up helping out around the house, hauling in buckets of water. I know that's how I originally got so strong.
Just what's the story about the horse? Like the you guys didn't have a horse.
Yeah.
You had to... Like drag the
you pulled
buggy
the wagon.
Yourself.
Yeah, all the other kids had horses that hauled the wagon to school, and my parents just kind of. I was the guy in front of the wagon. I didn't understand that.
So you're 22, but you grew up in the 10.
Fucking Idaho, man.
You have to walk to school in the snow.
Like Conan, like when he's walking with the Conan wheel. Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Not Conan. Okay.
You ever seen
Conan.
Strongman? And they're pulling the.
Yeah, you invented that.
Yeah.
You invented pulling sleds.
Yeah.
Wow.
Why not?
Hey, now.
There you go. Fun fact of the day, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my God.
It's how you deadlift.
I have a little bit of a rant to go on. Because
More than the butthole rant?
Well, people keep going on my YouTubes, and they keep like saying, hey, you need to have so-and-so on. You need to have this guy on and that guy on. And all I have to say to that is fuck all you guys. Because if anybody knows what's good for them, they're going to show up here. And they won't have to... if you're going to suggest that somebody come here, go on their fucking page and
suggest,
tell them to come to Super Training. Yeah.
Suggest them to email us and plan a date to show up.
I got a message today. Have you ever thought about having Eric Lillibridge on the show? Okay, well, number one, he's been on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, you only sponsor him. You only named knee wraps on him. It never fucking occurred to us that we should have Eric Lillibridge on the show.
Yeah. Or The Rock. People are saying, it would be great if The Rock and fucking Barack Obama would come on the show. Yeah. But there's some issues with that.
I'd love to have them on the show and have them play ping pong. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Together.
People just keep mentioning all these different names. And I'm just like, well, just go on their channel and bug them to come here because I'm the one who's pumping out the content.
Your mic is fading.
What? Oh, yeah, my God.
It's kind of limp.
You're getting limp again.
Hey, there you go. Much better.
Hey, now. Yeah, just kind of – that happens.
Yeah,
probably
got
not
angry
too bad
last time for that,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's rapidly approaching 40, so, you know.
That was all your rant? That wasn't that fired up. I was
No, it's not that. I mean, it's not that bad.
I want you to throw a monster against the fucking radio and shit.
It's not that angry of a rant. All this shit that we do is fun. It's too
More of a public message.
It's too much fun to get too mad.
Public service announcement.
But it's all people I haven't even heard of, too. Yeah. You know, it's like, throw me some legitimate people that have actually done something, and maybe I'll consider it a little bit more.
Well, yeah. I think that in reality, there are not that many undiscovered people in the fitness world. Yeah. There's some, but, you know, but like if we haven't heard of them at all, there might be a
Reason. Some of these people that are already have their own channel going, that are pumping out all their a lot of their own content, and they're becoming quote unquote celebrities within the fitness industry. I don't really care that much about a lot of those kind of people. I care more about like guys like this that have a fucking 825 pound deadlift at 198 pounds, to shed some light on somebody like that that's doing something that's fucking awesome, that's really cool, that can inspire a lot of other people that people may not know about. So that's what I feel our job is, you know, is to show people how fucking awesome some of these people are.
PewDiePie was on
PewDiePie was on Colbert
last night.
Really?
YouTube's taking over the TV. Yeah. All those guys are getting shows and shit.
Yeah, he's like, well, do you watch TV? He said, no, I just watch YouTube.
I've only watched one video of PewDiePie. It was kind of weird.
PewDiePie swears a lot, right?
Yeah, he was playing some weird... Yeah, he was playing some weird old school game, and all he wanted to do was like chop off people's legs, and he was all giggling and stuff. I was like, I don't know if the... It was kind of like watching the Joker from Batman play a video game or something.
Exactly. Jesse, you're what, 22, right?
Yeah, 22.
Are you into the YouTubes a lot? Are you all over the fucking internet, or are you actually doing other stuff?
I'm doing other stuff. I'd like to get on YouTube, but I mean, yeah, I work full-time job, 10 hours a day, 4 days a week, and then spend my other time lifting, personal training, and online training. So
right.
I have too much
hanging
time.
Out with your little, little puppy.
Have my lady, have my puppy, yeah.
I saw you
Have
racing.
Have you guys seen my little dog?
I saw you racing him in the backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you win?
No, barely.
Oh, dude.
That dog has only 2-inch legs, and it was keeping up with you, buddy.
Hey. I'm kind of quick. Not that quick.
Did you cheat?
Did I cheat?
Yeah, did you elbow the dog?
I kicked him in the leg.
Yeah, yeah.
Took off,
It's like the smallest little doxy.
Kicked him in the shin.
Punt him across the yard and take off.
Kind of looks like a football.
Yeah.
They're so fun.
They are.
How'd you get into all this mess? How'd you get into lifting?
I originally started back 8th grade, just training just to be better at sports, just, you know, as any kid probably does.
Not for chicks?
Which sports?
Oh, chicks, too. All right. You know, football in particular.
Were you just super skinny or what? Fat? What did you have going on at that age?
Yeah, I definitely wasn't that big. I was pretty skinny, just average build. Didn't start on the football team, so I just wanted to get better. Got in the gym, worked out. I was probably in the gym more than any other person, but, you know, when you first max, everyone else does the same thing. You get your maxes, you're right there with everyone else. You know, there's no one exactly outstanding at that time.
Yeah, everyone's within, like, 20 pounds or some shit.
Yeah, exactly. So, I spent the most time in the weight room that year, and set the records for the school that year at the end of the year, because I dedicated my time. The next year, freshman year of high school, I then started on the football team, and that's basically all I wanted.
Yeah.
Stay in the weight room. Got a huge concussion, in case you're wondering why I'm so slow. Yeah. And
I thought it was because you're from Idaho.
Idaho. And then I was introduced to powerlifting from my coach, Steve Rayborn, great guy, and he kind of showed me the technique, the form, what it's about.
He was like a high school teacher or football coach?
Yeah, high school coach, teacher, now works for the state. He showed me the ropes, and I just kind of grew from there.
Did he have you lifting with your pants on or off? Because you can't trust these gym teachers now.
Yeah, you never know. No, we kept him on at that point, yeah.
Just to be safe.
Yeah.
Just at the beginning, though, right?
Yeah, until he got to know me.
Yeah, right.
Then everything came off.
Do you remember some of the numbers you hit, like, in eighth grade or freshman year?
Freshman year, I mean, I was a 165-pound. I was lifting in single ply, knee wraps, that stuff. So that's how it started. But I squatted 450, benched right around 3, and deadlifted just over 505 or so.
Yeah, sounds kind of comparable to Ed Cohn.
Yeah, yeah.
When Ed Cohn was here, 14, 15?
Yeah, I was 15 at that point, yeah.
Yeah, when Ed Cohn was here and he was talking about like his when he first started lifting, he said I think he squatted like around 500 pounds pretty early on.
Yeah.
He only weighed about 150 or so, you know.
What did he say, pulled 405 the first time he ever deadlifted?
I think so, like yeah. Was that something similar with yourself, or where did you start?
First time I ever pulled, I pulled 315 on a hex bar. Right. So, then by the end of the year, it's 405, and freshman year, I just bounced up. So
try stuffing your microphone further down, and not you,
wait,
Jesse,
what?
But
huh?
In my mouth.
Yeah.
Open your mouth.
Just try stuffing it down further in the, there we go. I think that'll
balance
keep
it out.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so confused.
Stuff either it all the way
grab
in
a
there.
Quarter and fix that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, go on.
I got distracted by the big black
then,
face.
When did you start competing?
I did start competing my freshman
year. Oh, pretty much right away.
We hold a state meet in Idaho, and then that year I went to high school nationals as well, and that was in Michigan, if I remember right.
Right. How'd you do in the first couple meets?
State, I took second, and high school nationals, I took first in my class. Of course, you're competing against other freshmen and sophomore kids because they have the age groups. But
once
you
got second place, is that when you started steroids?
Totally. Yeah, I couldn't take it anymore. Yeah.
Fuck this. First loser. What did you think about competition at that point? Were you like, did you feel about it the way you do in football, where you're trying to beat everybody, were you thinking about it just in terms of, you know, making yourself?
It started a lot as just making myself better, you know, just being the best, as strong as I could for football and stuff like that. But once I got my concussion, I kind of just lost sight of football and grew into the powerlifting sport and saw how far, you know, people talked about the world competition. There was a girl on the team that had gone to Worlds, and she talked a lot about it. So I was really interested in making the world team.
Uh-huh.
My freshman year, I was definitely dedicated. I didn't make the world team that year. Took second at nationals, so I was, you know, runner-up or whatever they have it. And then the next year, I grew into the next weight class and just kept training, pushing myself. And it's more to get to that level than anything else.
Yeah, I think that's a fact a lot of people don't know about you. People know that you pull 825 and squat the shit out of some fucking 750 pounds, but they don't know that you've been lifting for so long and actually went to the IPF Worlds and won, yeah.
Yeah, I've been to IPF Worlds 3 times. First year, I took second. Junior year, my second year, took first and set some world records. And then senior year, took first and reset the world records. So.
Jesus. What kind of weights were you hitting then? And that was single ply, right?
Yeah, single ply, 181s. I hit a 727 squat. Bench 387 or so, which isn't a world record. My bench isn't that great. And pulled 707, which was another record. Totaled 1810 at 181s, and that was the goal.
That's crazy. That's still a big number. Yeah. You know, even now, geared, that's still a good, you know, that's fucking impressive. As a little kid, basically.
Yeah.
Fucking A.
18 years old, man.
What was it like competing on that world stage? Did that get you nervous at all, or you're just like, I'm just going to do my thing and not worry about it?
I'm always nervous going into a meet, but at the end of the day, it's just, you know, perform your best and just do your thing. You got to ignore your surrounding pretty much, even though as bad as I wanted to win, you know, what it comes down to is just hitting your numbers.
Yeah, we talked a little bit, and you said you like to PR in a meet, and I personally agree with that, and I think that's a hot topic, but going into the meet, are you okay? I'm going to total 1850, or are you like, all right, I'm going to open at 600 and then I'm going to see what today has for me?
Yeah, I mean, I set my goal like, okay, my trainings, I should be set up for, so going to Raw Nationals, I'm set up hopefully for 2050. So I kind of know my three numbers I'd like to hit, but you know, I go up open somewhat light, and depending on how it feels, how the day's going, it's just going to determine the outcome. So.
Yeah, the goal total would be if you go 9 for 9, if everything
kind
of plays in.
Exactly.
What's the deal with all the volume that you do? You know, there's like, seems like you do 6 or 7 working sets, and I've just never seen anybody really train like that before, where you're doing a shitload of reps and stuff like that, even all the way through your warm-ups.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing for me is just it helps my body adjust to the weight. You know, it just the adaptation.
What do you think of his body, Mike?
I think his body is adjusting great.
Jim?
Yeah. It's pretty impressive. Yeah.
We like your body.
Yeah.
We're adjusting to it right now.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Good to know.
Yeah. Whatever's between my legs is adjusting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even helps the power cast. Yeah.
Ratings.
Well, to roll back, let's talk about the concussion thing. I mean, that's obviously a hot topic right now. Like, what are your thoughts on concussions in youth sports and in professional sports?
Well, growing up, it wasn't always the best as far as the testing went and the eye on it. But nowadays, you know, it's very common, and we have a lot more knowledge about it. And there are the tests that they do on the kids before they play football. And if they get hit in the head, you go take another test, basically see reaction time and, you know, problem-solving skills. So I think they're doing a much better job on watching that subject and prevent, you know, brain problems.
You think it could have been with your situation, you think it could have been more prevented, or is just kind of like you wanted to play football, you weren't necessarily that big, and that's kind of just what happened?
Well, we didn't have the rules like they do now, like no head-to-head contact, right. Like they do in college and NFL, right. And that's basically what happened. So there's rules in place to better watch that now.
Yeah, I think all that's interesting. I'm not that knowledgeable on the subject, or I haven't read up on that much, but I know they're talking a lot about like the micro trauma, right? Like every lineman's getting it, because it's just a mini hit after mini hit causing mini concussion after mini concussion, really causing the brain damage. And powerlifting's not popular enough, but I think they're going to find a lot in there, heavy sets. You hit a heavy set of 5, sure 10, a heavy single, heavy double. There has to be something very similar happening with your face.
When you pull that weight off the ground so fast and you whip your head back.
Yeah, you get lightheaded, or you get fucking, you see stars. Yeah. I mean, what else? It's the same sensation. So something up there has to be going on.
It's got
to
be worse than geared lifting.
Oh, yeah. The pressure
is really, really bad. Yeah. Those of us who know.
Yeah, and who knows if they'll ever study that, because powerlifting's not.
Yeah, no one cares.
Clearly, on the level of football, or how many kids are playing football.
Well, by judging by the people in powerlifting,
I think a number of them have
they've been squatting
significant
too much.
Traumas over the years.
It only makes sense, right?
Judging by social media, I would say that some of the people who've competed in multiple.
Why do you think you've been able to kind of fly under the radar a little bit?
I think the biggest reason for me is just I don't care to put myself out there that much. I mean, I've been on Instagram a lot more recently within the last few months and posting. I mean, I only got like 150 posts or something.
Right.
But, I just never really cared for the attention.
You've been in the animal cage a little bit.
Yeah, in the animal cage, mostly because, probably because I work at bodybuilding.com, I was presented to Animal, and then they follow up based on what I could do. But, just staying on the radar. I'm not looking for the attention, but...
Yeah, you're just lifting and concentrating on just getting stronger. And obviously, everybody wants to be recognized a little bit, but it's not like a main focus. You're focused in on just training, basically.
Right, yeah. The biggest thing for me lately is just to make myself better, whether it's lifting or just my career, any goals I have, is just pursue that and do the best you can.
So what are your career goals?
Well, I'm 22. I don't exactly know what I want to do, but I do love the fitness industry. I love powerlifting. So if I can help expand the sport and, you know, make it more recognized by the general public, that's what I'd love to do. So
yeah, talking to you in private, you've been in the sport probably longer than I have, even though I'm a little bit older than you. But we both recognize that, like, powerlifting, it's like hard to get recognition in.
Yeah.
You know, so like talking like that, it makes sense why you're not hunting attention, because you know what the sport is, kind of, you know, and it's awesome and we all love it, but it's not.
Yeah, it's,
you go to the NBA so you can end up on a card, and so you can end up on a Wheaties box. You know, that's part of the fucking deal.
Right.
Like, you're like, fuck yeah, I'm going to win a championship. I'm going to end up on a Wheaties box. But, like, none of us got into powerlifting like, hey, I'm going to fucking.
Yeah.
You know,
it was never.
I'm going to have a clothing line because I deadlift 800. Like, no, I just want to be strong.
Yeah. That's basically what you get into, and you hope that things like that might happen. But
Jesse Norris, first powerlifter on the fucking Wheaties box. Wheaties. Everybody go
eat your Wheaties.
Yeah, he does have nice nipples. I mean.
No, he'd kill the cereal game.
Oh,
are you kidding me? Fucking go tweet Wheaties, everyone. Get Jesse Norris on the fucking box. Tweet him that.
Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Serena Williams is on there.
Yeah, he's yoked.
Yeah.
good looking kid.
Yeah,
strong as shit.
Legs than Serena.
Yeah, and great tits. Yeah.
Maybe not. She's pretty jacked.
Pretty thick, yeah.
God damn, she's pretty yoked.
I can always hope to have bigger legs than Serena.
Yeah.
Have you had any setbacks in your training? Injuries or anything that's sidelined you from lifting for a little while?
Nothing that's kept me out of the game too long, but I've had, I strained my pec once. I've strained my hamstrings a couple times.
That's from the juice. Yeah, well, only people juice. That are on shit tear a muscle.
Yeah, totally.
That's what you hear.
Known fact.
But the biggest thing for me is back inflammation in my SI joints. But I've figured out a way to kind of deal with that and just stretching and icing when I can and when to back off of weights. And
you want to rub his SI joint for him, Mike?
Yeah, I don't know where that is, but I'll rub.
Oh,
yeah,
it's
I'll rub
down low.
It's way down
further
in there.
Left, on further the down left.
Low. Yeah, it's in there somewhere. What about you're into motorcycles and stuff, too, and I think you told me that you got into a little bit of a wreck. What happened there?
Yeah, so, right out of high school, I bought my first motorcycle. I rode dirt bikes growing up. But
your parents pretty pumped about that?
I think my parents probably weren't pumped exactly, but they let me live my own life, which
that's
is
cool.
Nice. So, I bought my motorcycle, and one night, it was R6, so I like street bikes. I also own a Harley as well now, just to cruise around on. I love it.
Sweet.
Lady pulled out in front of me, just wasn't paying attention. I, of course, was looking in my blind spot when she happened to pull out. And
was she Asian?
She probably was.
She,
yeah.
Damn it, I knew it.
I didn't get a look
damn
at
it,
her.
Damn it, Sandy.
I hit my head on the ground pretty hard and got knocked unconscious and had a brain injury.
Did you just wake up in the hospital or something?
Woke up in the ambulance and they're taking some blood to make sure I wasn't on steroids and alcohol. So, yeah.
It was actually the IPF.
He's on steroids.
The IPF was in the van, yeah, no.
IPF made actually pulled out in front
of
you.
Yeah, made you crash.
Yeah, made
that's
you crash.
That's what happened.
To give an excuse to take your blood.
Fucking Illuminati.
They're everywhere.
Everywhere.
Bastards. So they found what? Tons of steroids?
Everything.
And that you hurt your
everything
head.
And anything. Yeah. No, but yeah, brain injury. I was, oh man, what did I do? It's a hard time to remember for me just because it wasn't exactly the best place.
Some fancy word that probably meant nothing to you anyways.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Doctor just said, you're pretty much stupid from here on out, so just don't worry about it.
Did you hurt anything else or just kind of just get ended up with a brain injury?
Brain injury. So I was probably lucky enough to get knocked unconscious. You know, everything from there just kind of goes limp. So.
Right.
Huh? Yeah. Everything goes limp?
Everything.
Dang.
All right. Well, maybe not everything.
Everything but
not,
one thing
not
went
permanently.
Limp.
I don't know if you met Bryce yesterday, but he was.
Yeah, he did. You took
I did
a picture
of Bryce. Yeah.
Yeah, he was in a motorcycle accident and he was knocked the fuck out. He was out for a long time. His the issues with his leg and all that stuff were already pretty much handled by the time he woke up. He was in a coma for a while.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Well, good thing, he woke up, and he's a good sport about it, which is awesome.
He has an incredible personality over the whole thing. I think that he said that it probably was easier that he doesn't remember exactly what happened.
Yeah.
It was like he doesn't have that trauma. We had a couple weeks ago, I got asked for a shout out for a guy who was in a motorcycle accident, and he remembers every moment of it, and
Jesus,
that's kind of the part of the problem. He remembers it in way too much detail.
Yeah
I didn't get hurt at all, but I got T-boned one time, and then for a year I was just fucking looking at every corner making sure I didn't just freaking out that I was about to get T-boned. All I got was a little headache and a neck strain. But
the thing about my accident was I was following all the rules. I was being more of a defensive driver is what you would call it, and shit happens.
Yeah. I guess that's what it's called, an accident. Sometimes people are just being idiots, and sometimes shit just happens.
Yeah.
Here in Sacramento, I think we're the rear-ending capital of the fucking world. I don't know if it exactly that's true.
Yeah, we are, buddy.
Seems like it.
Seems like it. Have you seen the toilet?
We're back. Yeah, exactly. But no, you will have your car totaled, frequently. I think I've lost 3 or 4 in the last.
Really? Just getting drilled from behind?
Yeah,
absolutely. You know what I'm
saying? It's terrible.
And rear-ended one too many times.
I lost my car and my dignity getting rear-ended.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
And those are little things.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to recover from that? Was it a long time to spin out of that, or?
It was a few months. I don't exactly remember how much time it was, but throughout it, I stayed into lifting. You know, I still went to the gym and worked out. Not quite
at least
as
you think you did.
Yeah, not as intense, because there's a lot of days. I was working nights at the time. A lot of days where I slept all day, like 14 or 16 hours straight.
Yeah.
And that was just my body telling me it needed time to recover. And I ate a shit ton of steak, and that was its way of figuring it out.
Me and Mark, you woke up and you just wanted steak.
Dude, the weirdest time of my life. That's all I craved. Yeah. Like,
how about now? Like steak, hate it, whatever.
Steak's good, but I don't need it every day.
I'm gonna rewrite
steak and vagina.
If you guys don't mind, I'm gonna rewrite this whole story. So Jesse Norris was age 15. He really wanted to be the world's best power lifter, but he couldn't even bench 135. Age 16, he benched 145.
Oh.
Age 17, 155. So he's making progress, but he's not much happening.
He's kind of making that fat Dan progress.
Yeah. 5 pounds a year lost on his body fat and gained on his bench. And then age 18, he had a horrific motorcycle accident. 6 months later, he pulled 750.
Yeah,
6 months after that, he pulled 800. This is the story of fucking the Fantastic Four.
My body just released so much GH.
He's got fucking ananantium in his body.
The Honda that he crashed into, the metal, became in his fucking erectors. And
was there a motor in the back of that Honda?
My anaconda. And that's what happened, ladies and gentlemen.
Is that how it happened?
Jesse Norris was built in the back of a Honda.
Yeah, I'm going to let it fly because I don't know what happened.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
You know what that's called? Something weird happened. Yeah. That's what I call it. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Something weird happened.
Something weird happened, and we ended up here.
Exactly. Look where I'm at now.
It just ended up that way.
On the world's worst podcast. Lucky you, buddy. Lucky you.
So you mentioned you worked nights for a while, and we get a lot of questions from people about working nights and how to manage their time. And
does that mean he's a stripper? Is that like a lady of the night
or
something?
No, we're getting there. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
How did you manage your time lifting-wise when you're working nights, and what were your hours like?
Well, I worked nights for 3 years. It was 7 p.m. to 5 a.m., and even I was going to be a volunteer firefighter, so I was going to class for that.
To 5 a.m.?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was a rough time just to keep working out and stuff, but I was going to class 2 hours a day for firefighting and going to work. Sleep for 6 to 8 hours and go work out, and basically just cooked a bunch of chicken and vegetables throughout the week and took that for my meals, and that's how I stayed on track weight wise. And
did you work out before or after work?
I as soon as I woke up, I went to the gym.
Yeah
So 3 p.m. Yeah,
that's crazy.
That is kind of crazy. But so you think like a key element to that is going to be like staying up on your food. Like you mentioned that
staying on a schedule.
You prepped your food beforehand, because otherwise you're just not going to have the fuel.
No.
And then you're going to be like, fuck, man, I need to eat. And it's just another distraction. Anytime you can have anything swerve you away from the gym, sometimes you might kind of head that way, right? Especially if you're just exhausted.
Yeah, exactly. The biggest thing, staying on a schedule and just having everything laid out. So it doesn't distract you any more than your class or your work or anything else that might come up throughout the day. So that was the biggest thing for me.
Yeah, it's just something that kind of has to happen. It's something that needs to be done. Did you work out 3 or 4 days a week, or how many times a week did you work out?
Throughout the fire training, it was probably 3 days a week, 3 or 4 times. But as soon as I was done with that, it was every day of the week. And I was there for 3 years, so 1 year was the fire training stuff, and then the next 2 years was just me going to work and working out. And every day of the week, it wasn't hard for me. And my weekends, I had 3 days off, so that was I could work out a little more intensely on those days. But
And what do you do for that was when you were working with bodybuilding.com, and you still work for them now?
Yeah.
What do you do for them now?
So I was in customer service, just taking calls, chats, emails, stuff like that. Now I'm on the...
People yelling at you. I just ordered some. Where the hell is it?
Yeah,
I took creatine for a week, and I'm still weak. You're
like, you just ordered it an hour ago.
Asking me if I had steroids and all that, yeah.
You guys still selling them steroids?
Yeah. Now I'm doing the reship recovery stuff, and it's mostly just back-end work, which Mike likes that.
I can teach you, buddy.
Yeah. No, so I'm just helping figure out, where missing packages are and trying to get them back to the company. So
where the fuck are they?
Yeah, it's a good
point. Are they just in Idaho? Is that where they all are?
Sherlock everywhere. Holmes sometimes.
I get a lot of missing packages.
Oh, man, I'm Inspector Gadget over here. You saw me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, maybe that's how you figure out the butthole thing.
He figured out the shitter. He figures out where my creatine is.
Yeah. All makes now sense now.
Yeah, now things are adding up.
Another gift he got in the accident.
It seems so often that people have no idea what their actual address is, and so they just give you the wrong thing, and so it goes nowhere.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that a lot, too. It's like, oh, yeah, my address doesn't work.
Well, yeah, what the hell are you talking about?
How does your address not work? Like, the mailman doesn't
know
where
you
are?
You're not typing enough numbers.
Yes.
Yeah, what are you, off the grid?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe
yeah.
if you're in Paintlick, but otherwise, you have no excuse.
That does make some sense.
Seriously. Figure out your address. People.
Bodybuilding.com is kind of amazing. Like, you order from there, and this is like a commercial for them, I guess. But when you order from there, I mean, it fucking comes so quick.
Yeah, a day or two for us.
And they've been ahead of that curve for a long time. I'd say maybe the last 5 years or so.
Yeah. Same with pricing somehow.
They've been on point. Yeah. They got really good prices.
Yeah. God damn it, Bodybuilding.com.
They've been on point with that shit.
Yeah, that's like the biggest priority of the company, just get the customer their package and... You know, get it right. Yeah.
Are you anywhere? Are you like in the like warehouse, like where all the shit is, or are you in a separate building?
I'm sitting behind a desk all day.
Yeah,
that's all I do.
Do you have to wear a suit? Do you look like a little nerd at work?
You don't have access to all the supplements and stuff.
I wear stuff like that.
Really, you can kind of wear whatever you want. That's cool.
Where do you work in the building that we went to? Or
the headquarters.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Where our boy Rep It Rich is in there.
Yeah.
Shout out Rep It Rich.
Oh, he's gone now.
Oh, no.
Bless his soul.
Took off.
Where'd Richie go?
He's going to go work for a church now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That was his lifelong dream.
That's cool.
So good for him.
Yeah, I haven't seen Rich. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rich is a great guy.
Yeah.
He ate Reese's, a pound of Reese's peanut butter cup with us.
We all
did
got diabetes.
Arm workout.
A pound?
It was really big.
It was huge.
It was the size of...
It was one of those big ones?
It was a Reese's Pieces the size of a donut, and we each had one.
Not Reese's Pieces.
A Reese's Cup.
There's a big difference.
There is.
It's a peanut butter cup.
Have you had the ice cream? A little bit smaller. I'd say 1.75 the size of a hockey puck.
So it was about like that. Yeah.
Round.
It was like inch thick.
Round,
man.
Though.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So because they make a bar.
Oh, that sounds all right.
That they actually...
Like a Hershey bar?
They sell, you know, less than 5 miles from our current location.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe we should go there.
Yeah, they have them at Fry's.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's gigantic.
I just saw...
Like the peanut butter cup was huge, too. I would say that it was like...
It was big.
It was like that
big. It was big.
Yeah. And I've never seen a really big peanut butter cup.
I had to go to the hospital after to get some insulin. You know, it was crazy.
Yeah, hospital, a.k.a. gym bag.
Yeah. My fanny pack.
Yeah.
With all my syringes.
Now I'm going to get all of these. Yeah, that's what Moneymaker asked him. He's like, what do you think about Mike's fanny pack? He's like, well, that's where everyone keeps their steroids.
Yeah.
Well, you need to conceal them a little bit.
Yeah.
You can't just have it hanging out your butt the whole time.
So. Yeah. Back to Reese's Pieces. I've had Snickers ice cream, right? Fucking amazing.
Like a Snickers ice cream bar?
Those Snickers ice cream is good too, but the bar.
Snickers ice cream bar is amazing.
Bar,
but I've never seen
that's like stuff dreams are made out of.
A Reese's cup ice cream.
Oh, I have.
I haven't.
A ton.
I just saw it today or yesterday.
It's pretty good. The problem though is that the chocolate has like paraffin in it to keep it together. So
I don't know what that is.
It sounds like a drug.
No, it's like
let's
wax.
Take some paraffin.
It's like a wax that keeps it together, keeps it from totally melting.
Wax, I could
apart.
Use that on my asshole.
Perfect. And so in the ice cream it's a little too cold and it takes some
chocolate
of the
flavor
wax. Out of the chocolate.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Fake chocolate
like a
taste.
Good night.
Yeah. If you want something like that, you want to go to Cold Stone and get the
Cold Stone's
peanut
pretty good.
Butter.
I don't know if there's
cream.
A Cold Stone around here.
Yeah, there is.
The birthday cake
there's
remix.
There's one by my place closed.
There's a Cold Stone again, not 5 miles from here.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck, how do I not know these things?
Yeah,
we found like a little secret gem of a bunch of restaurants we didn't know was so close.
You gotta follow the poop trail.
Yeah. Follow
Cold
number
Stone
two.
Fuck you up.
Cold Door number two.
I want ice cream now. Fuck.
I know. We're
had ice cream.
I could eat ice cream
last
all
night.
Day.
Yeah. So I mean, obviously you're a pretty lean guy. What do you need? What do you do with your diet now? Do you have to pay attention to it? Do you eat the same way you did when
During my work week, it's very laid out. I'm lucky enough that Candace, my girlfriend, helps cook. And
she's into the fitness
life. She's big
into
fitness. Yeah. If you don't follow Candace, she's does a lot of conditioning, bodyweight exercises, and is very big.
You should follow her because she's hot, is what he's trying to say.
She is hot, yeah.
She competes too, yeah? Not powerlifting,
but. She did compete in a lot of figure and the WPC or whatever that is on the East Coast. I don't know personally.
Yeah, I don't either.
So. But yeah, she's big into the nutrition, and she knows how to lay that out. So she
did you win her over with your deadlift, or did she win you over with her job position at bodybuilding.com?
I won her over.
Boom! There we go. There we go.
Yeah.
Big deadlift, big
cack.
Yeah. See?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Mike knows.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Go. I got a medium deadlift and a medium.
A schmedium.
Yeah. But, yeah, nutrition, 4 days a week. On my weekends, it's more relaxed. I mean, I obviously try to eat good, eat a lot of protein, you know, stay on low on the fat. But on weekends, I'll have some beer and eat whatever, yeah, go out for pizza.
Refuel.
Is your girlfriend your boss?
Not my boss.
Different department, yeah.
Different departments.
So. Can she be? Depending
on
the
thing. Fire you?
I mean, it depends.
You know, bring you into her office and you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. No, that could be a problem, Mark. Yeah.
Well, you said that Rich isn't there anymore. He's in human resources, so.
Well, hopefully no one's listening.
Yeah. They won't know all the top secret stuff that goes on.
That's right. No one listens to this anyway.
No. Yes. This thing's fucking dumb. So your girlfriend, she works out like pretty much totally opposite from the stuff that us fat guys do, right?
She tried the powerlifting movements.
Well, she tried a little bit?
And she did very well. She squatted 265, benched 200, and deadlifted
215.
Benched 200?
Yeah. Yeah, that's strong.
Yeah. It's crazy, right?
Yeah, that's very strong.
Yeah, and dead 315, but yeah, she's always doing her conditioning stuff.
Yeah. She still do a little bit of both now?
Yeah, she does a lot of, she likes the squats.
Ah. Yeah. For the booty.
When when you guys first met, did she have a perception of, you know, what's good in powerlifting type thing, or does she even now, or?
I don't think she quite had the idea, like, or knew.
Because like an 825 pound deadlift is like astronomical. It's like,
yeah, who else is doing that right now?
To her, that was crazy because she didn't really know what anyone else did in the powerlifting, and I mean that's still a great deadlift, but yeah, I was able to at least show her, you know, this is what I do, it's, and then this is what everyone else does.
Right,
and,
right. And she's like, oh, hey now.
He showed her me.
Yeah.
Like, this is what a real powerlifter looks like. Man, this is some of
mine. And this is my competition.
Yeah. Yeah. You choose, honey.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. It was a good time.
What about supplements? Everyone asks about fucking supplements. You're at fucking bodybuilding.com.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, are you creeping through? You're creeping through, aren't you? You're creeping through like, BCAAs.
Yeah. I don't know where your package went, sir. Slurp, slurp, slurp on
Thanks,
some fucking
though.
BCAAs.
Yeah. No, I take a few supplements. I mean, I'm big on the BCAAs and glutamine, protein, and pretty much pre-workout every time I lift.
You get hyped up?
Yeah.
You lift, what, 6 or 7 times a week?
Yeah, 6 or 7 sometimes.
So you're just living on pre-workout?
Yeah. Love it.
Is beer a big part of your regimen?
No. I mean, I really like beer, but it bloats me out.
Do you just fart smoke?
I know. I wish. I wish I had.
That's what it sounded
like.
Yeah,
it sounded like a huge rip.
My rip cord.
Yeah, we need to actually wrap that back.
Yeah, your umbilical cord of your mic, just your headphones are so long.
Yeah.
Mine's just in a weird knot.
Something weird happened.
That was weird. Something weird happened, and we ended up here.
Yep. Do you have a question, Jim?
Oh, no, I just said, one weird trick. You see that on the internet all the time. That's like very clickbaity. One weird trick. The one weird change that so-and-so made that did this thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That saved the butthole.
The butthole. The butthole's...
No one's butthole's safe.
We need to get some yarn.
Yeah, exactly.
For Dexter over here?
Yeah.
Well, I got some in my bag.
And line it up with the various buttholes, and let's get to the bottom of who is shitting on, like...
The bottom of the bottom.
Yeah, yeah. The bottom of the lid of the toilet.
The rear end.
Of the,
I do I think know, it's not talked about enough how we talk about genetics and bicep insertions and bodybuilding and stuff, but where your
bunghole...
Yeah, where it's placed, it has to play a role.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. Like,
help your deadlift.
You could
have
a high set butthole or a low set butthole.
Well, it's disgusting. Like when you sit on the bench, you know, and we're all have our ass on the bench, but some guys literally have their ass on the bench. Like their ass is out of their shorts.
And on
the bench,
skin.
Like Big Bill.
Oh,
his like ass is
poor
actually
Big Bill.
Fat Dan. His ass is actually on the
and
bench.
And he's deadlifting, and his asshole's hanging out.
Yeah, his ass is
just,
right out.
Just wear a longer shirt or tuck it in.
Yeah. His, well, see,
oh, yeah, Dan yesterday, or actually Tuesday.
See, now his asshole, I would imagine, is like tucked in more because if your butt is up this way, then that would bring the asshole this way too.
Yeah, anterior pelvic tilt.
Right.
Yeah.
Or posterior tilt.
Yeah. Mm. He's got anterior tilt.
Easier access to the butthole.
So, what do you have competitive plans, goals?
I mean,
are you bleaching your asshole? Let's get to the bottom of that.
I told you that in secret, Mark.
Oh, son of a bitch. Never mind.
Gotta keep that low. Mm-hmm. I do have competitive plans. I'd like to do Raw Nationals, my next meet, and then I'm going to do the Reebok Record Breaker. And then the last meet I plan to do, which is next year, is IPF Worlds. And then after that, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's kind of, that's as far as my plan goes. And I'd really love to hit a 2050 total at 198. So
raw,
that'd be fucking raw, crazy.
Yeah,
so,
You had lifted in single ply for a while. What point did you go, okay, I'm done with the single ply.
I got too fat for my suits.
And you said I'm not fine anymore.
Yeah.
They just start hurting, hurting your legs. Like I know they can pinch a lot.
They
stuff
pinch.
In single ply.
And just it's uncomfortable.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, knee wraps that you wrap to where they bruise your legs, and you know. It just
wasn't even talking about Raw for a while either, you know. So you needed a new challenge, probably. Right?
Yeah, and people don't understand. I don't feel like people understand the suits either. So when you,
it's harder. I think that another thing that people miss about geared lifting is that it complicates the weight class thing.
Yeah.
So much more because if you're trying to cut down to make a particular weight class, there's a fair chance that when you put the weight back on, if you put it back on, you're not going to put it back on in the same places.
Yeah.
It's going to accumulate.
Messes up the suit a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you may not be able to do what you had planned to do. That's, you know.
Yeah.
In the meet. That's, it's worth giving up just for that.
Yeah. My eyes, the big thing for me is like, because I do want to help the sport grow. So when people see me lifting a suit, they're like, well, you know, doesn't that help you? Well, yeah, it does help you. And when you're just raw lifting, anyone can do it. You know, anyone can go to the gym, lift raw and some knee sleeves. It's
definitely more relatable. I mean, they all have their place in the whole, you know, spectrum of lifting. But in reality, most people can relate more to raw lifting.
What are your thoughts on weight cuts?
I mean,
you got 2 hours, buddy.
Yeah, I don't really. Too much of a weight cut.
Yeah,
3 to 5 pounds. I walk around at my weight class. I have to do 2-hour weigh-ins wherever I go. So if, you know, the 24-hour weigh-ins, I just, when people are dropping 20, 30 pounds just to make a weight class, I feel like it's not quite as fair. You know, when you,
it's clearly different.
It's way different.
Well, it also gets to that point where it's like we talked about earlier, just like it's not that relatable.
Yeah,
to people, like people don't understand that that's like part of what some people do for competition. You know, is drop these, do these huge weight cuts and stuff.
Yeah,
it
makes it more complicated. I feel like
UFC. I think it would be interesting if they did 2-hour weight cuts. Just because, why not?
Because because they of the hype around the 24-hour beforehand.
That's a whole pageantry thing
they can do.
In Japan, they used to just do like the weigh-in wasn't like the official weigh-in. That might be a decent way to do it.
You could have a little flex off on stage.
Right.
But I think it would be interesting because then
they did outlaw the use of
IVs. Flex off. We'll get some views on this fucking video.
For rehydration, right?
No IVs, which is plays a role.
They also might as well just institute a rule about percentage or something like that, too. I mean, they should. You got to protect these guys from themselves. And there's also, you know, you talked about concussions. They're starting to show more and more that people are getting concussions from, you know, being fatigued and being dehydrated and all these different things. And that's going to be a huge factor when the guy gets in the ring and, you know, if he didn't rehydrate properly.
Yeah, I don't know the physiology of it, but it seems like you're probably draining fluid from everywhere and around your brain would be one of those places.
So. Right. Yeah. It just adds more danger to the whole thing.
Yeah, just draining fluid.
How long did it take you? You said you did a 727 squat in gear and then in that gear and knee wraps. How long did it take you to get to that similar weight raw?
I took about 2 years off in between and just stuck straight to training. Obviously, I gained a little bit of weight. I went up to 198s from 181s. Mm-hmm. But yeah, 2 years of just training raw. And
when you did the 727 squat, any idea where you were at?
I think I maxed. I remember maxing at about a 585 raw squat.
Okay.
When I hit 727. So it gave 130 pounds, you know, yeah. Single ply suit and knee wraps. So
you went IPF, you said, when you were 18, and that was the 727?
Yeah.
And then we talked yesterday, and it sounded like you were under the radar until maybe a year or two ago.
Yeah. I think the biggest when my name came out was when I totaled 1850 at 198 raw, and that was my first raw meet.
Gotcha. And that was in Boise?
Yeah. Well, Lewiston, Idaho.
Somewhere over there.
Yeah.
What were you doing in between there? Not competing or just training?
Just working. Again, I was doing my fire thing and stuff like that.
So just too busy to actually compete or...
Yeah, I wasn't focused on it. Right,
yeah, yeah. But that was the transition from single ply to raw during that time.
Yeah. I gained my weight and said, screw the suits, and I'm just going to lift raw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you think people have such a hard time believing that you're natural?
Probably just... the numbers I put up and probably my body composition, you know, but a big thing about that is like, they also don't see how I train.
Right.
So I'm not sure what to tell them.
So you tell them to, train the way you do for 2 years, eat decently,
train the way I have for the last 4 or 5 years and see where you're at. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
I mean,
thanks.
Mike doesn't believe in natural. He's been hating the whole time you've been here.
Yeah, I know. He's
full of shit.
He's been following me everywhere I go to make sure I'm not sticking a needle in my ass.
Yeah, put a GoPro. Put a GoPro in his fucking house in his hotel.
Try to stick a camera in my ass or something.
I always think it's kind of interesting how people just like kind of automatically assume that there's like a level of genetics that, you know, there's a ceiling to the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then I just think it's kind of laughable sometimes when people think that their genetics are great. And it's like, well, just because your genetics aren't that great and maybe you haven't put the time in yet doesn't mean that everybody else that, you know, lifts over 400 pounds is on steroids.
I think it's the same topic on steroids is people that don't take steroids think steroids do more than they do. And people on steroids think they do or talk about them doing less than they do.
Yeah.
And then same with powerlifting gear. And then same with genetics.
Yeah.
All those topics. Yeah. If you have awesome genetics, you play them down. If you have shitty genetics, you play them up. Like, I'll never get it. I can't get a six pack. You can't get a six pack because you're willpower.
Yeah. Well, genetics are not just one thing.
All right,
Genetics for physique, genetics for
hard
strength,
work,
for
diet,
endurance, all of those things. I mean, they're all different variables. And so, you know, and somebody like Jesse is, you know, has probably got more than one of those going for him.
Yeah. It's hard to say. You know, I don't think I have great genetics. I mean, I brought up in a family that's decently strong. My brother's strong, but when you look at my parents, you know, there's nothing.
Yeah, your dad's not Phil Casimir or something. Yeah.
Right. And at the same time, you're not 6'5". So it's like you have some advantage coming in.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have, you know, the ability to gain some muscle where maybe some other guys would struggle a little bit with it. So it's like, yeah, maybe your genetics aren't off the fucking charts to where you're this just like total mutant where that no one can ever hang with you or anything like that. But, you know, you have a couple things that lend themselves to being good at like a strength sport.
Yeah.
And then also you were, you know, fortunate enough to kind of get involved in the sport that you were, you know, quote unquote made for early on.
That's what I was going to say. That happens in other sports, right? Like LeBron James is 6 years old and he can touch the backboard and they're like, you're going to the NBA, little buddy. Let's play basketball. But that doesn't happen in powerlifting. It's not like you lift your fucking dad's car at 5 and you're like, oh, my son's going to be a powerlifter. No. Like, that just doesn't happen.
Well, look at like Michael Phelps. What if he played something else? It's like, I'm sure he probably is very athletic and he's probably very good.
He'd probably be terrible on a basketball or football field.
He's probably good at a lot of stuff if he started it early and worked on it. But the one sport that he's going to dominate and win Olympic gold medals in is swimming.
Yeah.
You know? And so he, you know, found that sport.
Yeah, I do think it's a little known fact too. Like Mark talks about all the time that he started lifting when he's 12. And you start lifting when you're 12, 13, 14, 13, you know, 14, that's a huge step on everybody that they just tend to ignore.
Yeah.
People and then like the real genetic mutants could kind of go into anything.
Right.
You know, that's
thanks,
what I think.
Smelly.
Well, like Bones Jones. I mean, like he's got brothers that play in the NFL. Right. Those brothers, not saying brothers, his brothers. could come into the come into MMA and probably do well.
Right, Bones Jones could
probably go in the NFL and I mean, not jump right in the NFL, but football experience. He could probably play some football.
Yeah, there's you often see multiple brothers in the NBA or multiple brothers in the NFL, and that's just how it goes.
Or look at like someone like Usain Bolt. I'm sure there's a bunch of shit on the track that he can do. Could he be a wide receiver, you know, for the fucking Raiders or something? Probably.
Yeah.
You know, working on catching a couple of passes, he'd probably smoke everybody, right?
Yeah.
I mean, those guys, that's the upper level of genetics right there. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that they don't take anything, because who the fuck knows, really? But whether
but they
do or they don't, their genetic makeup is way above and beyond anything that any of us
I'm taking shit tons of steroids, and Usain Bolt's still faster than me.
It hasn't made a difference for you.
No. I look the same. I look just fatter.
Nothing happened.
You're pretty good at that prowler, though.
Not bad.
Yeah.
I beat Omar.
Yeah, I know. Smoked him. Well, he's Canadian.
He's Canadian, yeah. He's only trying so hard. He's trying to be polite.
He's politely let me win.
Sorry.
Well,
sorry.
No, maple syrup eating son of a bitch.
I think another part of it is that, you know, we've been around long enough to have seen a lot of lower weight class male lifters. So, you know, 198 and below, 220 and below, or whatever. All those guys are lean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whether clean or not clean, they're all lean. They're all pretty strong, or they wouldn't be in the sport. You know, I mean, you're looking at a kind of a cherry picked group.
Yeah.
So it's pretty easy to say, oh, that person's, you know, not natural, because they can't be, because I can't do exactly what they did. I can't look the way they do and be as strong as they are, even doing the same things, the same workouts that they do, the same diet, whatever. It just doesn't end up everybody in the same place.
Yeah. Mike, can you look up one of the crazy workouts this little fucker does?
Yeah, I'll look right now.
So we could kind of talk a little bit about that.
Gonna some get of the, my Instagram.
Some of the numbers. I do think, you know, when somebody sees an 800-pound deadlift, I think they automatically just assume, just because that is quite a bit more weight than what other people are moving around. You know, I think they automatically assume that someone's using shit.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. So, who knows how he warmed up, but he ended up with 725
for
three.
This is so retarded.
Oh, it was great. Well, we went to bodybuilding.com, and I was like, all right, like, Jesse's fucking strong. Bodybuilding.com is going to have a fucking awesome facility, which they did have a good gym. But me and Mark were feeling like shit. It was like 0 degrees out. I was like, all right, Jesse, like, what bar do you pull with? And he's like, oh, like, just that black one. I went, and it's like fucking fat. There's no knurling on it. I was like, fuck you, bro. Like, are you playing a fucking trick? I barely pulled 400 on it. Like, it hurts so bad. It's stiffer than even a stiff bar. Anyway, so he's probably using that bar right here, because he's at bodybuilding.com.
I bought my bar.
Oh, did you buy
it? I have an Ohio Power Bar now.
That's a good bar. That's my favorite bar right now. Made by
RogueFitness.com.
So he got 725. Is that what this bar is? Maybe it's a little newer video.
Yeah.
725.
So.
Yeah, it looks like it, actually. 725 for three. Then afterwards, just for funsies, 495 for 12, 585 pounds for 10, and 675 pounds for two sets of six, because one set of six probably wouldn't have been enough.
Yeah. The first set felt a little odd, so I had to do another make sure.
How long does that take? Like that, just that deadlift workout?
6 hours.
The deadlifts usually take probably 1 or 2 hours. Probably 2 hours.
Yeah, and you kind of go plates just all the way up, plate.
When you worked up to 725, there's a lot of reps in there too?
Well, actually, so on that workout, so I did the 495 or 12, all that stuff before 725.
Right.
And usually, you know, I might do a cool down set with 495, just hit a set of five.
Just to be cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty rare for a powerlifter to do that many reps, especially before they do their main lift. What's the thought process on that? Why the fuck do you do that?
It's
backwards, man.
Yeah. I like, obviously, the extra work. It helps, you know, condition you, build some muscle. When you're working out, usually I don't do that on the heavy weights. But for me, it's just getting used to the weight, filling it out, and then seeing how my body feels. So 495, I always do for 12, just because that's no longer that heavy for me. 585.
Is that pretty much part of every workout?
Yeah. Yeah.
God damn. What about like 315 and 405?
I mean, I do that, but usually like 315 for 6, 405 for 5, just
moving around, because it doesn't those weights don't matter that much.
Yeah, what'd you do yesterday? 495 for 10 or so? Fat bar off a big old deficit?
Yeah, and then 585 for 5.
Yeah, fuck.
So your normal warm-up for a heavy deadlift session looks like?
So I'll start out 135, 10, 225 for 8, 315 for 6, 405 for 5, and then 495, 12, 585 for 10.
So you do two pyramids?
I guess. Yeah. I just do what works for me, and that's what works. Yeah. And
585 for 10, and then how do you get to the 725?
So usually sometimes I'll hit 635 in between if I feel like I want the extra work. Otherwise, I'll do
just jump
675 for sets of six, and that's usually a decent weight for me. I mean, it's somewhat of a struggle. So at that point, you know,
it's starting to get heavy, huh?
Yeah, it's starting to get heavy. So I know if my body, if I can get six, then go up. Because
we talk about that as regardless of your strength, you should kind of have a number. Like, okay, for me, it's like 500, 545 on my deadlift. That feels good. It's a good day. That feels bad.
Yeah.
Bad day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if 675 doesn't move, you know, I only hit it for three or something, I'll probably stay there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to go up after that.
Do you have that kind of number on all three lifts?
Yeah.
Some kind of gauge.
Some gauge. For bench, it's usually 315. I'll hit it for 10. If 10 feels good, then shit, maybe I'll hit 405 today.
Yeah.
Or, you know, double or whatever.
What about squat? What's kind of your gauge number?
What is a gauge for squats? 585 is usually somewhat heavy, and I can kind of gauge from there.
Yeah.
635 sometimes I'll work up to just for sets of five and see what happens.
I gotta say, you're an asshole.
Oh, sorry.
You're a real asshole. Lifting all that kind of weight.
Yeah, I'm off the team.
I don't mind it. Then there's no more weights for me to lift.
Yeah.
So then I got an excuse.
No, got better go home.
Yeah.
Better hit up the old ice cream buffet that I invented.
Ice cream buffet.
Yeah. I know. Hashtag.
They're going to start popping up everywhere. Everybody's going to be so jacked.
Shouldn't released it.
There's going to be a protein froyo machine. There'll be a fucking gelato.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you get a bag of donuts on the way out.
That would only be in Ohio.
Just because.
Handed out by Joe Bag of Donuts.
Do you get sore from these fucking workouts or what? Are you used to them?
I'm used to being sore all the time, I think. I mean, I get pretty sore.
And then, you know, you're doing this amount of volume during the workout. What's the frequency like?
For
any of the lifts.
Yeah, how
bench, squat, deadlift, how often?
So I hit deadlifts twice a week. Bench, I hit three times a week with overheads in between. And deadlifts is twice a week.
Jesus Christ. What kind of plan have you followed? Have you followed somebody else's training? Or did your coach kind of help you with this that you had in high school?
Yeah, at first my coach had a laid out program for all the powerlifters that you follow. You squat, bench, and deadlift once a week. And
right.
Just lift three times a week, and that's how we did it. And then as I progress, you know, I want to get better, and this program's not allowing me to do what
to
I
grow.
Think I can.
Yeah.
And so I tried out the Chico method for a while, and I took what I liked from that, which was basically the routine I follow now. You know, you bench and deadlift Monday, and, you know, front squat or whatever, and the frequency between. I took that from Chico, but then I took the high volume because that's what I prefer to do.
Right.
How do you recover for some of this stuff? You said you take whatever, you know, glutamine, BCAAs, which may not help. Who fucking knows, but you like them.
Yeah.
Is there any other, like, massage, chiropractor, hot tubs, or any, like, secrets so you're not dead the next day?
Usually I stretch, roll out. I think rolling out helps a lot for me.
You do it after.
Yeah, before and after usually, and
during yesterday,
you during did a bunch, yeah, yeah, just to keep my back loose. I mean, when I was pulling, I'd roll out my back and stretch out every time in between sets, just to get the blood out of the muscles. That way, I don't like seize up in the middle of the deadlift, man.
I noticed you were kind of just taking your time. You would stretch and just kind of wait a little bit, and just whenever you naturally felt like you were ready to go again, you just went again. It didn't seem like it was, like, timed or anything. You just kind of wait around, and then you feel better, and then you go again, right?
Yeah.
I mean, pretty simple.
Play it how you feel.
So when you're working with clients, and what kind of programming do you do for them? I mean, does it look like your training, or is it, you know, what's...
It's kind of personalized. I mean, I set them up on, like, they're going to do the same lifts as I would on these days. And typically the same volume, but I'm going to watch or have them tell me, you know, hey, maybe I only hit this weight. You said I should hit for 10. I only hit it for 8. And I say, okay, well, let's back off 10 pounds. So next week we hit this weight for 10s. That way you can get in the repetition, you get in the volume, And then we move up from there. You know, it's just, it's more personalized based on how they're performing.
Mm-hmm. So, how it's going for them.
Yeah.
What's your, you got a website or something?
I'm working on it.
What do people find you if they do want coaching? Instagrams?
Instagrams is the best way.
What is it, Jesse?
Yeah, I set up an email. It's jnorristraining@outlook.com. Yeah.
jnorristraining@outlook.com.
Phenom Athletics is the one site I'm working on right now.
Oh, cool.
So
that's nice. The name?
Yeah. Cool, man. We'll see what I do with that.
Anything else you want to shout out before we have to all go take a shit?
Shout out Genesis Fitness in Nampa. If you're ever in Nampa, Idaho, come see me there. It's my uncle's gym. Cool. Great place to train. And say hi to Coach Steve Rayborn and Candace, my girlfriend.
Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, she works out there too?
She works out. We work out bodybuilding, train at Genesis sometimes.
Train all over the place.
And
all
then the
over.
Garage.
Yeah, I got my garage gym.
Set up too, right?
Cool. Yeah.
That's pretty nice. Sweet.
You blast music when you train, you just kind of zone out.
Yeah, I try to piss off the neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Crank it up.
Yep.
All right, very cool. Awesome having you on the show. Multiply your hustle, multiply your muscle, and may all your shits be tapered. At Mark Smelly Bell on Instagram and Twitter. Later.
At Silent Mike with 2 K's, Instagram and Twitter.
I'm Jimmy D, STTV on Instagram and Twitter. Follow the show on Instagram at Mark Bell's Powercast, Facebook.com/SupertrainingGym, Twitter and Periscope at STGymSack, and on YouTube /SupertrainingGym. And we're out.
Mark Bell's Powercast is a production of Supertraining.